morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on the way, and we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord Jesus Christ has made, and to understand that we in a dispensation of grace, and it's been going on for a long, long time, and we should not take for granted for what we have in the dispensation of grace. And God's will is to have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And that's our goal, is to preach the word of God rightly divided and hope that people will understand what God is doing today. And with that being said, we're going to sing number 23, Onward, Fellow Soldiers. Might be a little different from what you're used to, but it's Onward, Fellow Soldiers. The tune's the same. The words have been changed to protect the innocent.
Onward, fellow soldiers, be strong in the Lord. Put on God's whole armor. Take the word of God. Stand with truth and righteousness. Take the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation. Pray for all the saints. Onward, fellow soldiers, hardness we endure. With the blood of Jesus, more than conquerors.
Number two.
Romans through Philemon, purposely to me. Stand fast in the Lord and His mystery. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you see. Now we fight the wickedness of principalities.
Amen.
Onward, fellow soldiers, hardness we endure. With the blood of Jesus, more than conquerors.
Number three.
Cast down all ungodliness, bring all thoughts to Christ. Brothers, we have victory, Jesus paid the price. God's will is that all be saved, make all men to see Christ in you, the hope of glory, down at Calvary. Onward, fellow soldiers, hardness we endure. With the blood of Jesus, more than conquerors.
Get you going on. If you think about it, amen. Be turning to Genesis chapter 6. I know I promised about bringing the video back, and for some reason I keep forgetting to bring the video back. But anyway, if you're listening and watching, you see a picture, you're getting the message as if we are videotaping, amen. So let's be that, knowing that much is true. But we're talking about last week, or last lesson, Noah had the Old Testament type of righteousness. And he did what God told him to do. And God took him, and what he did, and said it was righteousness. When he looked at Noah and said, you're is counted righteousness. And we understand that God looked at his faith and declared it as righteousness in Christ, although Noah didn't know anything about Christ or anything about the rest or virtue, what God was doing at the cross. We're in lesson 39, but Noah did the things that was perfect in his generation. And if you think about looking at generations today, how many things can you see going on out there as perfect and righteousness and generations? It's hard to figure it out, but there's people I know are doing things that's supposed to be right with God. And one of the things that you could be doing right with God in the dispensation of grace is what?
Sharing.
Not sharing or
studying.
Understanding the Word of God, rightly divided, understanding what His will is today, is all men to be saved and come knowledge of the truth. And He's building a body, not a kingdom on earth. And what's going on out there in the world today, people's fighting over kingdoms. You ever notice that? Who's moving pawn sets and who's going to be doing this and who's attacking who and all that stuff. God is building a body of Christ today. He's not thinking about what's going on in this earth as far as his kingdom on this earth. It's coming. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And yes, I do. God's graciously saved Noah through the flood because of who he was. He was perfect in his generation and he walked with God. Chapter 6, verse 11. Genesis 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh shall come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The earth was filled with violence. And they, you know why? Well, you know why. Sin's there, right? But there was no government structure to punish the wicked. And there was no government to bear the sword or provide protection for the individual or couple or family. And they nature of sin takes a spiral and downward course, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, what should have been the opposite of that? Should have been going up towards God, right? But it takes a spiral. And remember what we talked about when Enoch walked to God? What was going on in the world? Chapter 5. Not only death, 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 but what? Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Ungodliness was filled in the world. And what you see is a demonstration of necessity of instituting human government. This is the fourth institution that we'll talk about here in a second. But to govern and control sin in a society in order to protect the family and marriage and individual. That's what human government does. That's what nationalism does. You know, people think about Nationalism Day and they want to put you under like a Hitler type of society and they don't even know what nationalism is. Nationalism protects you and I in our country. It's not internationalism. That's what the world wants. That's what Satan wants. Internationalism, it's nationalism. Now, you know I'm a special commodities relocation engineer, right? I have an interstate license, okay? You know there's an intrastate and an interstate. You know the difference?
One, you go stay in the state, the other one you can go out.
There you go. Interstate, I can get a license to stay within the state of Ohio or wherever you're at, and you can't go outside of that barrier. That's not a bad thing because you're protecting or not, you're doing your commerce within. Interstate is crossing borders and all that. We have licenses to do that type of thing. And when you're licensed that, you're under a different type of government structure, basically. It's not fair, but it is what it is. Myself and airline pilots and maybe one or two other people, I have to account for every day, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day for what I do. And I have to account for that. And I had to verify logs. If I'm off duty Saturday and Sunday, I had to verify I was off duty. If I work, I'm supposed to go on duty. If I come to work for you, you know, I'm supposed to go on duty and show that time working. Because anytime you do outside work, what you're doing, it's affecting your off duty time. So that, you know, it's, you know, you think, wow, now my pay ain't the greatest. You know, you think, oh, man, they pay you good money. You know, when I first started out, you know how much money I was making a mile? 18 cents a mile. Now it's 60, 70. Some people get paid a dollar a mile. I'm thinking 18 cents a mile. And when I tell people I got a half a cent raise, you know, to you guys it might not seem much, but to a truck driver that made his living with the wheels turning, that was a lot. Half a cent added up. But the thing is, what I'm talking about, interstate and human government, nationalism, internationalism. National government is the type of government, and we'll see when we get there, that was established. And when what you see in the demonstration of why it is necessary that nationalism and the fourth institution be established. What's going on before then? Sin has entered the world. Marriage, family, the world's corrupt. It's going in a tailspin. You don't see that going on today. Everything's perfect in the nations of the world and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Funny. But you know what's going on. It's spiraling out of control. And you talk to people and they're like, I just can't believe this is going on. I can't believe this. Well, you better believe it. It's happening. You know, whether it won't attack one nation or not, whatever side you own, it's happening here. And notice it says, I will destroy them with the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to destroy the old world, basically what he's saying. And when Noah steps out on the ark, he steps on to a what? A new world. And God destroys the old order and establishes a new one. Come with me with Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger there and go to Hebrews chapter 11. New world, old world. Watched an old movie from the 80s, 90s, last night called Contact. And she's contacting, hearing stuff from outer space. And Jodie Foster played in the movie, if you know who I'm talking about. And she would not admit to the world that she had faith in God. And they just didn't want to send anybody out in outer space to possibly meet the Creator that didn't believe in God, faith. But she held to her truth, what she was, and they sent somebody out that said the right things, basically. And if you know the movie, it blowed up or whatever, but she ended up going out and to another dimension and all that stuff, but you know how Hollywood does. And she fell through this thing, and for 40-some minutes, that thing came through that object that they built to send her out in the other world. And they said she just failed. And they said, no, I went to seeing this other planets and I went to seeing this other world. And I said, and she basically said when she was in front of Congress and talking about it, she said the right things to say, we've got other people out there. We got other people that we need to take care of. She didn't say the word faith. She wouldn't say that. But her boyfriend realized what she was saying, that type of thing. But to make long story short, Hollywood does some wonderful things if you want to think that. But there was 42 seconds, whatever it was, 45 seconds, lost. But they were static. And in that static, after further review, it was 18 hours of recording. And what she was saying was true, that she was out there, and another, that she would talk to her dad or whatever the case may be. But this right here, she didn't have faith in what God was doing. She had faith in science. See? And you have people out there today will dispute the fact that there's God, right? You know that. And they're teaching that. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Now the world rejects what? God, yeah, the words. Words. And he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached by preparing the ark. By the ark he condemned the world. And the world rejected his testimony. How long did it take him to build that ark? You think 120 years, him building that ark and people walking by, look at it. Yeah, look, what's he doing out there? Better prepare yourself. God's coming. God's coming. He didn't err from his testimony. Okay? Now, in contrast today, you know God's coming back. You believe that?
Amen.
How do you believe that? He tells you through his word. He's not showing you signs of prophecy out there that everybody's believing. Oh, the end of the world's coming. This is coming. You know God takes care of all that stuff. He takes care of Islam, takes care of Jewish, and he takes care of Christians. And we all, and when it's all said and done over here, he's setting this stuff up over here that it's going to happen. That by faith, people's going to believe this. And became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah being warned of God. He had a revelation from God, didn't he? Of things not seen. The flood hadn't come yet. And people say it didn't rain then, you know, there's speculations like that, and the dew of the earth comes up and waters the land and all that stuff. So what he not seen is a flood, and God's telling him, saying it's coming. Prepare a place. God warned Noah. And you're reading the warnings in verse 13, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, back there. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third. And third story shalt thou make of it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Now, the breath of life is the spirit in verse 3 that we saw before. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120. That's what he's talking about. And from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God told Noah what was going to happen, didn't he? And Noah, by faith, when he was warned of God, he feared the judgment of God coming down of the earth, and the faith went out and built an ark, resulting in the saving of his house. Now, Enoch probably had a lot to do with this too, didn't he? Remember, Enoch preached. Enoch knew some truth. Enoch walked with God and all that, and he knew what Methuselah was going to happen, right? Remember, we looked at that before. The ark. What do you think the ark is shaped like?
A coffin.
A coffin? You can say a coffin.
Rectangle.
A rectangle. You know, is it shaped like a battleship? An aircraft carrier? You know, you ever seen them? You talked about dry dock earlier. You put a ship on that thing, it goes like this. But it's a box. It's a coffin. It's a rectangle. It's like that tub over there you got over there. And you see the description of it. It is an ark of gopher wood. Gopher is like a cypress or a cedar tree. And they pitched it within and out. The pitch is rosin. It's like an asphalt. It's a sealant. And it's something to make it watertight. Boy, we wish we had that on our roof, didn't we, huh?
Yeah.
You know, our roof is always leaking. Oh, after all that, with the finish we've done, it's leaking. And it's that asphalt. They made a box. It has three stories. It's not an ocean liner. It's not like the Titanic. It's not designed to sail.
It didn't sink either.
Okay? It's designed not to go anywhere. You put that box over there, set it down on that lake cable over there, set it down, it ain't going nowhere unless the wind blows it, that type of thing. And it's just a box with dimensions. And it's about 18-inch louver windows that ran around the top of it underneath the nave. And, you know, that type of thing. They had to have let sunlight in. It was how many cubits long? 300 cubits. 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. And a cubit, what we determined a cubit was by man's standard. 18, 20
inches.
18, 20 inches, some say 24, whatever. But it's 18 inches. If I'm not mistaken, from here to here is 18 inches. That's a cubit. Okay? Mine might be 24 since I work out. No, just joking. But anyway, that's a cubit. And you times that by 300, that type of thing. And so it would be about 450 feet long. 70 feet wide and 45 feet high. It has three stories. Wonder why three stories?
For all the animals.
You ever thought about first and second, third heaven? You ever thought about there's reasons for this stuff.
You get to live on the third floor.
Yeah, they did.
Think
yeah,
about the window.
And he has a door in the side of the into the layer bottom. It's a pretty good sized box. Now, I haven't seen it. Some of you probably have, that ark they built down there. Okay. And does it look like a box?
Yeah.
Pretty much, don't it? Yeah. So it's not. And I remember years ago people saying, well, we're not in the dispensation like Noah's dispensation before the flood. Nobody's building an ark these days. You know, somebody built an ark down there. I remember over there, like you're going to Deep Creek, Maryland, if you pass Deep Creek and keep going over there on the left side, somebody was building an ark there out of metal. Big three-story thing, and it stopped. I think it's called the Church of the Ark or something like that. So it no longer is there. And I used to bring that up, and people were like, what? They're in the wrong dispensation. You know, that type of thing. But and all of a sudden, you have a gigantic box. And in a box, you don't lose any space. You ever heard of cubing the trailer out? Or cube that little storage building down there. If you don't cube it right, you're going to lose space. And when I drive a truck for a living, and these companies that runs like fabrics and stuff like that, they want every cube of that trailer something in it because they're paying for it. And those boxes was from the floor all the way up to ceiling as tight as I can get. Potato chips, hauled potato chips for a long time. They box them things up all the way up the top, cube that trailer out, and they know exactly what to do with it. So you don't lose any space. It was, and if a cubit was 30 inches wide, the width would be about 125 feet and 75 feet high, and that's a lot of cubic. That's a lot of feet in there. And people ask, how did Noah get the animals in the ark? That type of thing. And they walked in, one by, what, two by twos?
A few sevens.
I didn't have my phone with me, but I don't know if this has got the pictures on it or not that I saved. Where's that? Uh, Why was Noah's ark like a smokehouse? We're talking about a square.
At the top. That window was like a vent. Get some fresh air.
Because it had ham in it. Anyway.
Ba-dum-bum.
Get it? What's Noah's son's name?
Oh, Ham.
Ham, Shan.
A smokehouse has ham in it hanging in there, curing, okay? But anyway, I thought that...
But you got to explain it, it loses everything.
But anyway, Ham was one of the guys. But a level of for Noah and his family lived on, a level for the animals to be on, and a level for the provisions to be on. And some of the things were quite roomy and quite sizable. And there was proper ventilation. They had an entrance. They had layers and provisions. They had it on. They had watertight pits. It was set to live in. And it was, but it's designed not to go anywhere. And it just like floated, and just to keep them through it, it's a saving of their house. Verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. How many people we know that was on the ark?
Eight
all together. And the first time the word covenant appears in your Bibles, right there. Noahic covenant. And they have been a couple covenants already. They have a covenant, not the word covenant, but they've been covenants already. Covenant in Eden when he made man. Adamic covenant, Genesis chapter 3. Noahic covenant here. You're going to have the Abrahamic covenant. You're going to have the Mosaic covenant. You're going to have the Palestinian covenant. That's the promise of the land. And then you have the Davidic covenant, and then you have a new covenant. And one thing I want to say quickly about that, and we'll probably get to it, but the Abrahamic covenant, we had a president that's had a covenant with people over in the Middle East, and he named it what?
Abrahamic
covenant. Accord. And I don't know if y'all thought about this. I have, and it makes sense. When you've got two brothers that's fighting each other, and you bring their daddy's name up, that puts them on the spot. And if you notice, they didn't have no issues over there for a while, right? And whether you want to believe it or not, Abraham's the father of the Islamic people, Muslim people. He's also the father of the Jewish people. There's one more in there. The Gentiles, the Christian. And he takes care of all them. And I thought about a message I might do for one of the conference. I'm going to call it Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And just let you see where he comes into play all through that. And still today. And we have a lot of Christian people out there, so-called Christian people, that maybe understands why we call Abraham Father Abraham. Why do you think you call him Father Abraham? What connections do you have with him? You wasn't Ishmael's son, descendants. You wasn't Isaac's descendants. Why can you call him Abraham Father?
The spirit of adoption.
For circumcision. By faith.
By faith. Mm-hmm. He's the father of faith. And we can go, and I shared this with you before. You get to talking with some of these Acts 28ers, and they don't think the Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians written to you because it's all the Jewish people in there and all that stuff. And he mentions David. Mentions Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and you're like, what does this Gentile care about anything about Abraham? He's a Jew. And then as you start to think about why He was saved in uncircumcision.
Yeah.
You know, he was a heap by faith. And you're like, whoa. That's why he's got a connection with the Christian. But eight, you know what the number eight means? Eight is a number of a new order of things. And the eighth day is the beginning of a new week. Jewish Sabbath was the last day, the seventh day of the week. Jesus rose on the first day of the week, the new week, or the eighth day. His resurrection and introduced a new order of things. The Christian Sabbath, a new creation, regeneration of souls, points out to the new heaven, new earth, which will be the eighth dispensation. If you think about following the seventh and millennium dispensation, God command Abraham to circumcise every male child on what day? The eighth day. And that's Genesis 17, 11 through 13. And any who were not circumcised would be cut off from the people of the Hebrew nation. Isaac was circumcised on the eighth day. Ishmael was circumcised. And what did circumcise symbolize? Circumcision symbolize?
Separation.
No, that's a good thing. Or Abraham and his descendants was a new race. A new race. Who by circumcision were cut off from the old Adamic headship, entered into a new relationship with God. Noah was the eighth person. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And his family consists of eight persons. And they populated a new world, new earth after the flood. David was the eighth son of Jesse. And he introduced a new order in Israel. The leper was cleansed on the eighth day from leprosy, thus proclaiming a new man. The sheaf of the first fruits was to be waved before the Lord on the eighth day, and tomorrow after the Sabbath. 50 days later, on the same day of the week, the Feast of Pentecost was observed. It was a tetralogy of the sending of the Holy Spirit, who inaugurated a new gospel dispensation. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 7 days, but on the eighth day is a holy convocation. The Feast of Tabernacles was lasted for three great festivals and came to close the harvest, and during the children of Israel dwelt in booths as a typical of God's eternal rest. So if you think about eight souls, eight surviving, that's a new beginning on the eighth day. You know, we'll study those covenants a little bit closer, but this is Noadic. Thank you. Noadic covenant. Genesis 6:19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, of every sort shall come to thee to keep them alive. Notice Noah did not have to go out and round them up.
Mm-hmm. You see what their pronoun is.
The animals came to him, didn't they? And God brought the animals to the ark and marched them up the plank into the ark. And God brought them, marched them in, and all they went. And and caused them to do it. People ask, how did God get all the animals on the ark?
He
called them up. One, the ark was real big, okay? Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. We all have our own opinions. But I do know some of the species that's on this earth today was not on that ark. That little bitty miniature schnauzer we used to have was not on that ark.
Inbreeding mutations.
Yeah. So he didn't take all the animals on the earth. He just took two of each kind, a pair, male and female. And notice it says, after their kind, just like in Genesis chapter 1. God didn't create all the different species as we just talked about. It was a kingdom. It had an order, family, species. If you're getting all the species, you have to back up and get all the genus of the family level. You have to go back and get every one of them. Like I mentioned, we got a standard poodle today. And a lot of people has
miniature.
Substandards.
Yeah. But they would, all them little breeds wasn't on there. You know what a bulldog is?
Yeah, we used to raise them.
You did?
Bulldogs. My dad did.
Okay, what'd they look like, Howard?
Mack trucks.
Okay, how big was their head?
Big head.
Small body? Narrow, small body. The head was bigger than anything. You know what they was for? You know why how they come in existence? They raised them dogs to attack bulls. And they put bulls in these arenas, and they had these bulls, and those dogs with those big heads and jaws would not give up. And they would jump on that bull to buy him, and that bull would sling that dog off, and if it didn't break that little body, because the head was bigger, you know, he'd attack him again. That's what I was told how they called them bulldogs. Yeah, and then English bulldogs different from pit bulls, and all, so you got
That's all these,
huh?
That's cruel.
World's ain't.
That's cruel to the dog.
Yeah, well that yeah, but
the,
but.
The Jews, German shepherds.
German shepherds, you know that type of thing. So you have animals, but those breeds wasn't on there, you know that type of thing. Man has corrupted. They corrupted before the ark. And you're going to see corrupted after. They're corrupting things today. You know, there's been dog fights forever.
Yeah.
Cock fights forever.
Like
you know, that type of thing. human fights forever. You know, some of these, I don't know if you go through the channel and see some MMA fighters and stuff. And then, you know, they're like this, getting ready to fight. I like boxing. I can watch a boxing match. And they get out there and they start pounding each other. I'm like, whoa. And I don't know if you saw that incident between that Teamsters.
And that congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
And that senator.
Yeah,
they were going to go.
Yeah, and he said, stand up, let's go. and that one senator up there in Vermont, like, hey, we're senators, so you don't act like that. And I'm thinking, if they lived in the 1800s. They would duked it out.
Look what they do over in England. They won't get in fights in there.
But anyway, they're fighting. I'm like, whoa. And if you heard the whole thing and seen the whole thing, that Teamster was sending him stuff. Like, I'm you know, blah, blah, blah. And he called him out right then and there. I'm like, whoa. And that guy stood up. He's a fighter.
Yeah,
you know. You've been trained that way. But the gene pools that could produce all the animals that they needed to produce. That's what was on the ark. Verse 21. And take thou unto thee all of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness for me in this generation. And I don't know, guys, you keep shaking your head like of this generation. He's the only one of that whole generation.
Some yeah. Say that his seed line was the only one not corrupted by the fallen angels.
That can't be true.
Yeah,
it can't be true.
Right, because Enoch.
Because, what I'm getting at
by
is.
By the time it got to him. Yeah, but Enoch was gone. Methuselah was dying.
But they're all corrupt from Adam.
Right.
So there was no, we went over that before, that people call Seth was God's seed line and all that stuff. That's not true. You can still be righteousness. Like today, is your blood tainted today?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Still going to die.
Are you righteous?
Yeah.
In Christ. So you can still be righteous. Noah, the verse 22 should be according to all God commanded him to do.
Mm-hmm. Just doing what he's told.
Doing what he's told. That's a hard thing to do. He gets the provision, he loads it up, and then he waits. Hurry up and wait. How many of you have been there? Get here at 10:30. Hurry up, man. 11:30. Are they going to see me yet? You know, so you got to prepare yourself to wait. And wait's hard to do. And Noah said, Lord said to Noah, come. That is a great Bible invitation. Mm-hmm. Come unto me. Y'all come. You know, that time. Come unto me. The Spirit and the bride shall come. Let him that heareth come. The very last invitation in the Bible is come. And come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And that is the standard Bible invitation. You know, I said earlier, the church, when we first started introducing to dispensational truth, I agreed with everything they had on this Bible, but when it came to water baptism and altar calls, that's all I heard, waiting on that invitation. And each Sunday they had you so tore up, you got up there and went up there, and by next Sunday they had you tore up again, you went back up there again, you know, over and over and over. All it is a show of flesh, people. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. How many do you get saved today? How many do you get baptized today? How many joined your church today?
How much money did you get?
You know, yeah, how much money did you get today? Genesis 7:1. Thou hast, thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Noah did all that God commanded him. That was his righteousness. Notice the definition of Old Testament righteousness is Luke chapter 1 verse 6. Luke chapter 1 verse 6 says, and they were both righteousness before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That is the definition of righteousness in time past. That is what Noah had in Genesis chapter 11:1, and you'll see it in the last verse of Genesis chapter 6. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is not exactly what you and I find in grace in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, or Romans chapter 11 verse 6. That ain't the same. We didn't have any covenant with God. We're not a covenant people, and you probably heard that over in your lifespan. We were outcast. Mm-hmm. We was cut off.
Dogs.
We were part of the heathen group, not perfect in our generations. So we should be very, very thankful that we have a Savior that saved us, despite of what we. If we could ever get better, you know, I was talking with a young man at the gym yesterday and was talking about blood and all that, how, you know, this type of thing. And I looked at him, I said, your and I blood is tainted. It's tainted. And I'll say this and I won't scare you, but I was overseas. And when I got home, I can't get blood. You ever heard of mad cow's disease? Mm-hmm. And it just so happened, move over a little bit now. It just so happened that they bought the meat from a different producer, and they found out it was tainted. So I could give my own blood. But I can't give blood out to... And Cherry gave blood the other day, and they said, hey, they got an 800 number you can call, and they can remove you from that list. They can, after so many years, they start removing people anyway. So I'm thinking, my blood was tainted. Your blood's tainted. But Jesus Christ's blood is not. And that's what I shared with God. I said, that seed line that's been tainted through the sons of God, so giants and all that stuff all the way through there, it has not disappeared when they got on this ark. Because what happens when they get off the ark? Guess what pops back up? Same thing. And if you look at some of these athletes today, that one that plays for the Mavericks, I'm not talking bad about nobody, but he's in a goldfish commercial. You know them little goldfish crackers? He said, you want some of that? And he takes his hand and he puts it in there, and his whole hand, he can't get his hand out. You know, he's 7'4".
7'4",
this basketball player. There's some Paul taller than that. So what I'm getting at with the blood, that's why it took Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to impregnate
Mary.
Jesus didn't have a human father. He had a daddy, Joseph, that taught him some things. But that blood has, if it was tainted, y'all know it. It wouldn't have do a hill of beans. It's just another man dying. So when you trust that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, we're no longer cast off. We're not off cast. We're part of the body of Christ. And that's why it's very, very important to understand in the dispensation of grace what God is doing with the Jew and Gentile. And you hear that term more probably now on the TV set. People still dislikes the Jews. They've been disliking the Jews for 4,000 years. They're the most hated group of people in the whole wide world. Out in any nation, they're the most despised. And you know who you can thank? That's a good star right there. Hagar, Sarah. What was Jacob's mother's name? Rachel? What did Esau want to do to Jacob, his own brother?
Kill him.
Despised him, hatred. And that Esau is where you get the Arabs at. Ishmael is where you get everybody else over there. Who's their daddy? Tainted. Hatred.
Satan. Yeah. Abraham was too weak. He listened to
it. The flesh.
Yeah.
So that's goes to show you the battle is between the flesh and the spirit. Paul talks about we don't war against flesh and blood, don't he? But against what?
Witness.
We sung about that a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So when we sing Onward, Fellow Soldiers, marching off to war, there's a war going on out there. And people need to hear just the simplicity. Christ died for you. Romans 5:8. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.